It's powerful. It's responsive. It handles beautifully. And it'll blow the doors off anything else in its class. And right now, we'll let you take one out for a test drive overnight. Just visit an authorized Apple dealer and test drive a Macintosh.
Hello, and welcome to the Colcast Best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Eric von Elijah. Joining me today are two of the best beards in the biz. The first one is long and flowing and makes wizards everywhere nod in approval. A beard like that could only belong to one, Mr. Buster.
Hey. Oh. How's it going?
That was my wizard laugh. Tell. The next beard is of the goatee variety, and it's just as slick as the man it's attached to. Lewis Wallace is joining us.
Slick with bacon grease.
Now, you're the guy that has like the really high quality, super lubricating beard oil. Isn't that right? Was that David?
Yeah, it's bacon grease.
So it's just nice and shiny at all times.
It would have to be David, yeah.
I've only seen your picture, Lewis, but I would imagine you would look with that specific facial hairstyling, you would look great in like one of those like pastel Miami Vice suits with the loafers and no socks. That's actually, I was going to do an intro that worked that in, but I couldn't think of anything before we started recording. But you'd be like the third Miami Vice guy. Like you'd be like the real slick guy with the ponytail, like the real tiny ponytail. There's only like 3 inches of it sticking out from the rubber band in the back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You used to love that show, didn't you?
No, I did not. Oh. And I've only been to Miami one time, so.
But you enjoyed yourself, I bet.
You know what? I had a flat tire, and somebody actually came by and helped us. And, you know, they said, this is like back in the 80s, right, when it's like homicide capital of the U.S. And they go, just tell everybody that Miami's okay, all right? hey, Miami's okay.
There's at least one nice person here. There was a movie about all the carnage that happened in Miami during the 80s. It was called, I think it was a documentary called Cocaine Cowboys. Did you guys ever see that?
No.
Nope.
And it was all about the drug trade in Miami during that time and what made Miami such a dangerous city to live in, and how drugs just fueled like this insane party life and all this insane violence that happened. And they actually are talking to a lot of the people that were involved in the drug trade during that time, giving their firsthand accounts of what life was like back then and how they were getting away with all these insane drug crimes. And some of these guys, one of the guys was like convicted of murder. I think they were like literally interviewing him in prison, and he was bragging about what it was like. And he did zero remorse whatsoever that he was chopping off people's thumbs for not paying for their cocaine and stuff. Anyway. We digress, but you know that happens a lot here. So we got a lot of great stuff to talk about this week. Let's see here. This is what we're gonna hit on the list. We have some more stories about these MacBook Pros that are being swapped out for brand new versions. And it's funny, we talked a little bit about this last week and why Apple was swapping out some people's old, really old MacBook Pros for these brand new versions. And then the story came out this week about how Apple was doing it for an entirely different reason, and people were going in there and getting brand new MacBook Pros for these like 2012 versions. And it kind of blew up in the press this week. It turned into a big story because once Mac Rumors published this story about it, all these other people realized Apple was doing this and then flooded in there to try to get themselves a new MacBook Pro. It kind of turned into a big disaster for Apple. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And I also want to touch on this story about how the AirPods got their unique white look, and how if you ever thought they looked like a prop from Star Wars, you're actually not far off. That seemed to be the inspiration for their design. We'll talk a little bit about that. It's a historic day. Two of Apple's most prolific, iconic devices have been retired. We'll talk about that. And if you stick around to the end, we are going to do an all-new what we're into, where we talk about the stuff that we normally can't fit into the show, you know, something that maybe isn't a gadget or something that's not iOS related, you know, the stuff that we are currently enjoying testing out or doing in our lives that we wouldn't normally get to talk about in the show. Let's see here. Before we jump into this first story, let me go ahead and say thank you to Blue Apron for supporting this episode. Picnics, potlucks, dinner parties, barbecues. Good food is essential to a successful summer. And now it's easier than ever to create delicious summer meals with Blue Apron, because for less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients right to your door. I can say that I have been using Blue Apron for months and months now, and it really is a good service. You pick the menu items that you want each week, and then they ship all the ingredients, everything right to your door. And cooking the different recipes couldn't be easier. They show you exactly how it's done. And my favorite part is they send you recipes that I would never think to make on my own. Things from genres that I'm not familiar with, and I wouldn't know how to cook, you know, a lot of different like Chinese food dishes or even like Mexican dishes. You just don't know the ingredients that are involved. They make all that super easy. So they're actually teaching you how to cook and making it easier for you to improve your repertoire of recipes. Some of the meals coming up in July include seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers, creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles and sweet potato wedges, fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn and cubanelle pepper. I don't even know what that means. Cubanelle? Doesn't that sound delicious? Delicious. Chicken butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. Let's see here. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/cultcast. If you haven't tried it yet, what are you waiting for? You get three free meals. There's no reason not to try it. blueapron.com/cultcast. Okay, let's start with these shortages of MacBook Pro parts leading to them giving out new MacBook Pros to everyone who just happened to wander in to the Genius Bar, or at least anyone that was lucky enough to ask for a new battery. This blew up this week after Mac Rumors posted a story that said Apple was giving people brand new MacBook Pros because there were severe component shortages for some parts. So if you went in there to get a fix on your machine, specifically if you had a problem with like your battery and Apple didn't have the part to give you right away, they would just go ahead and give you a comparable MacBook Pro for free. And because Apple is nice, they ended up giving a lot of people brand new models. Well, Mac Rumors posted about this, as I said, and it blew up, and everyone was going in to their local Apple store. As you can imagine.
I'll take a free MacBook, please. Yeah.
Expecting to get a free MacBook Pro, and some of them did, some of them didn't, and you know, some people came away pretty pissed. I wish I would have seen this earlier. I would have fabricated a story about my battery and walked in there and been like, oh man, my battery's not working, bro. And then scored myself a brand new MacBook Pro. But if you're scrambling on your way out the door trying to fix yourself up with a brand new MacBook Pro, they closed this off, didn't they, Buster, as of what, yesterday?
Yeah, they wisened up to that.
Although I have read some stories that they are still honoring new MacBook Pros in some cases. So if you do need a new battery, it still might be worth trying. But this blew up online yesterday, and there was a Reddit thread that was dedicated to all these people like trying to figure out like how to scam Apple out of MacBook Pros. And also legitimately wondering how they could get a MacBook Pro because theirs was broken. Because now instead of giving you a brand new machine, Apple is making you wait up to 15 business days to get your old broken machine fixed. And so the parts are back in stock. But I think the craziest part about the story is Apple was offering people a brand new MacBook Pro, or if they were out of warranty, instead of charging them the $199 to replace their battery, which is what they were doing for the people that they were giving brand new MacBook Pros, they would waive the $199 fee if you were willing to wait until they had more batteries in stock. And my immediate thought was, who in their right mind would ever take that deal? Like, you're going to give me a new MacBook Pro now for $200, or I can wait, you know, 2 or 3 weeks and get a brand new battery for my 5-year-old MacBook,
yeah,
you'd have to be doing some serious cocaine to take that deal, right? Right? Am I right, Lewis?
Yeah. Well, I was also especially impressed with the people on Reddit talking about people going on YouTube, eBay, and buying up old ones and trying to run the batteries down so that they go in and take advantage of this.
You're kidding.
That's, I mean, you know, it's Reddit. Who knows? But
I actually hope those people got the long smooth shaft when they did that.
Yeah.
If you're
shaft.
Buying old, oh yeah, it's summertime, dude. Not that, that makes a difference when you go full dolphin. So it's a lifestyle, not a seasonal thing. if you're going out of your way to try to scam Apple, I was of course kidding. My battery is actually in perfect condition because I think I take care of it. But if you're trying to go out of your way to scam Apple out of a brand new MacBook Pro, I feel satisfied knowing that you bought yourself an old, broken, crappy MacBook Pro on eBay. You went in there and they told you sorry, they weren't going to do anything for you. Because what happened was Apple was just trying to be nice, and I think Mac Rumors picked up on the story that this was happening, and of course they were trying to do what was right by their readers, so they posted about this. But if you read all the comments on the Mac Rumors story, some people were absolutely irate that Mac Rumors went out of their way to do this, because they were saying that they basically ruined it for everyone who was having a legitimate problem and were getting hooked up with these MacBook Pros for free, because Apple found out about this thread. And actually one of the guys in the Reddit thread was a verified Apple employee, probably worked for the Apple store. And he was saying that Apple was absolutely furious about the Mac Rumors article, and they were setting up customer expectations, and customers were going in there and being let down. And he said that he had never seen Apple react to a situation internally like this. And I'll actually link to this Reddit thread or to the Mac Rumors story if you guys want to check out more about this. So last, you can no longer get a free MacBook Pro. But you could for a while. And this, of course, was another reason why Apple was giving out MacBook Pros. And I actually had some people on Twitter reach out to me and say they had gotten a free MacBook Pro in the last, 2 to 3 weeks. So this might have been a result of that. But why, these kinds of things never happen to me. Anytime I go into the Apple store, they never hook me up like this.
Oh.
And yeah, right? And we're kind of like the guys that you'd want to hook up.
Right.
Like, don't they know who we are?
You want a solid review from the Cultcast crew, right?
That's right. I mean, Apple's business it goes up and down depending on our endorsements. And that's something that Tim Cook knows. And he's said to me several times in our private conversations that we have together. So it's surprising that we don't get treated this way more often. But if you were one of the lucky few, you could have scored yourself a brand new MacBook Pro for just $200, even if you were out of warranty, which was why this story blew up so big yesterday. You know, this is kind of a slow week. Can we just put that out here,
dude,
out there?
Summertime, you know, like everybody's getting baked in the sun.
Well, we're getting so close to the what I'm calling the iPhone Pro, aka the iPhone 8. We should start seeing some hardware leaks here soon. And actually, some people on Twitter were suggesting some names that Apple might go with for the iPhone. There was someone on my Twitter that was saying they should call it the Decade Edition, which, shoot, I don't have their name in front of me, which I actually thought was pretty good. The Decade Edition, the DE. I thought that sounded pretty cool.
The Decade Edition.
I think in another word, it starts with a D.
What's that?
I don't want
Dummy
to say
edition.
You're going to get the D. The iPhone D.
Please don't
call it that.
They
can't do that, can they? That wouldn't work for them.
Please do not do it.
Which iPhone did you get? They gave me the D. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so I actually liked that idea, the Decade Edition. And I'm hoping they call it the Millennium Edition, the iPhone ME.
What?
That would be pretty cool, too.
Okay.
After the
failed
outstanding version
Windows?
Of Windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, failed. It's like the best Windows version that they made. Okay, well, let's talk about AirPods, one of the best inventions Apple's ever had. And I can never say enough good things about the AirPods. If you don't have them yet, you are missing out on a fantastic set of earbuds. But I digress. Jony Ive this week was having an interview, and he was talking about the design of the white earbuds that he so carefully crafted. And he was telling the Wall Street Journal that he wanted the look of the AirPods to look like the stormtroopers in Star Wars, which is a pretty cool iconic look, wouldn't you guys say? Like that whole like stormtrooper like white plastic shiny outfit. It's a very unique look and a very unique costume, and Johnny Ive was apparently inspired by that, and he said that he wanted them to mimic that look. And in a 2015 interview with Vanity Fair, in a strange twist, The Force Awakens costume designer Mark Kaplan revealed that he was actually inspired by Johnny Ive designs when creating the new Stormtroopers outfits. So both of them playing off each other. Apple helping Star Wars create iconic costumes. Star Wars iconic costumes helping Johnny Ive create iconic products. Isn't that an interesting twist? I thought so.
It's funny. When they first showed those things off, I mean, I remember thinking that, wow, this looks very much like those Stormtrooper masks or helmets or whatever. And ironically, I mean, isn't the look of the things when they're in your ear like still like the only downside to these things? I mean, they look great in the ads, but you see somebody on the street with them and, you know, it depends on the person, right? And
I agree.
Maybe what angle you're wearing them at. Although, I don't know. It's they're so convenient. I can't imagine letting go of them, so.
I concur with you 100%. They're terrible.
They look goofy as
Yeah, they look really bad. I'm borderline self-conscious when I wear them.
You should
be. Even in my house alone.
You're always like looking around to make sure like your girl's not there. You're like, I can't wear these when she comes home.
Are the cats laughing at me? Have you seen people wearing them on the street? And also, ever since they've been released, have you found yourself paying attention to people with wired Apple earbuds?
Oh,
because yeah, I started kind of getting intensely focused on this whole thing ever since this happened. It's like, you know what? It looks kind of weird walking around with white things and cords dangling out, you know? I mean,
true.
It's just we all got used to it because of the advertising and just the ubiquity of it, you know? So I think it's probably just a, you know, the first couple pictures of the dorky guys, you know, with the intentionally oddly placed things. As time goes on, it's... I'm already a little bit less shocked by it every time I actually see somebody on the street with them.
You mean with the AirPods or with the wires?
Yeah. Sorry, with the AirPods. And if I look at somebody in the airport or something, I see somebody with the wires, I'm like, you know, that's kind of weird looking too. Why is that acceptable and cool, and the way more convenient ones that look exactly the same and don't happen to have dental floss hanging from them, those are weird. Ooh.
Well, I think for me, the AirPods, they look like they end abruptly in your ears. Like they just jet out of your ears and there's just nothing there. So they look like jewelry in a way, whereas the ones with the wires, the look continues down and it goes into that wire and it disappears into your pocket. It's just a more continuous, uninterrupted look. I sound like Johnny Ive here, don't I? That's exactly
how you
would talk.
You're talking too fast, though.
I should slow down a lot.
Uninterrupted look.
When I edit it, I'll slow it down into like half speed. And so the AirPods just have like this strange end point at their tips where it looks like they should be connecting to something.
Yeah.
And the wires don't. But you know, when we had the white wired earpods, everybody had them, so you didn't think anything of them. But once you're freed from the constraints of the wire, this is going to sound like hyperbole, but I really think it's true. Do you remember that scene in The Shawshank Redemption when Andy Dufresne emerges from that sewer pipe and comes out on the other side and he's being rained on and he's just like has his hands pointing to the sky? That's what it feels like. You know, right?
Sure.
It's definitely, man, I love the wireless aspect of it. I still find those things to be slightly less than comfortable. And you know, the one thing that I find annoying about them, tell me if you've ever experienced this. After I wear those things for like an hour, my ear sometimes starts to itch just a little bit. And you take that thing out to scratch your ear, and it stops whatever you're listening to.
Well, you could turn that off. Oh, yeah. Can you turn that off? I wonder if you can.
I know that I have not even gone into tweak any of the settings. And frankly, it's, you know, such a minor quibble. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's a it's they work really well, and that whole pause, the music or whatever, it can be awesome. But sometimes you're just like, well, like if you're listening to, I don't know, like a radio station, you know. Sometimes I listen to iHeartRadio, and that app. Sometimes you take it out for just a second to hear something, and it stops it, and then it goes back, and they force feed you a minute of an advertisement or something.
Oh, dude, it's like, that is annoying.
Give me a break. Yeah. They've almost ruined that app, and I mean, not that it's like some amazing thing, but it's so many ads, and I found that like I'm sitting there going, God, my ear really itches, but if I take it out, it'll stop what I'm listening to, and I won't be able to hear this next crucial second. And so I sit there and I go, and I kind of try and scratch it with it in my ear. It doesn't work.
So you press it into your ear, try to scratch it without taking it out.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I think you're probably one of the people that suffers from tiny ear canal syndrome, you know, that the AirPods and the earpods just are not a right fit for your ears. And I've heard people make, it's a real thing. It's not something to scoff at. And and unfortunately for those people, the AirPods and the earpods are uncomfortable. For me, I think they're the most comfortable earphones I've ever had.
Wow.
And I can wear them all day. They're the only earphones I can wear literally all day, 24/7, without them hurting my ears whatsoever. They don't ever get uncomfortable. I don't really get any itching or strange sensations. I mean, it's as close as you can get to not wearing anything in your ears. Buster, how are your ears in the AirPods?
I haven't used the AirPods, but the earbuds always did well for me. Like, I never had any problems with them.
Okay, well, then they would be exactly the same,
I always thought they were pretty comfortable.
Yeah, me too. But I know for some people they're not. They should make them in like a couple different sizes.
Yeah,
that would make more sense, don't you think? So with people with tiny ear canal syndrome.
Yeah,
what was that
TECS?
Tiny TECS. There you go.
I don't understand why they don't do the little rubber tips or whatever. You know that. I mean, everybody else ships all their stuff with three different sizes.
Well, they do,
right?
On the premium earbuds that they have, not the earpods, but remember they had like some nice $70 earpods that they made, and they had the rubber tips on those.
Oh, they just continued those though, didn't they?
Yeah, I've never been a fan of like the rubber ball tips because I've never felt like they really work well. Like they don't stay in place well for me, even if like you use a bigger size and stuff.
I also don't like the friction they create within your ear. Like, I kind of like how smooth like the AirPods are, and they can just be kind of moved all around and stuff. You know, to your point about the continuous or the play pause stuff when you take it out of your ear, I really hope in iOS 11, which I just uninstalled because it was ruining my iPhone, I really hope that they build in more AirPods control functionality. Like, they added the ability to skip tracks, and that was great. But I hope to see them add more stuff like that, so you can really customize the control and like the taps and stuff on your AirPods, because they could probably build in a whole plethora of stuff that would make them even better, and that would be really nice to see. But speaking of iOS 11, you're running the newest beta, aren't you, Buster?
Oh, you know it. Just ruining
it. Dude, I know it's virtually nothing's changed, but are there any big marquee features in it that you've noticed? Is it running better? Because it was the buggiest. I was telling Lewis this. It was the buggiest iOS I've ever run, and I'm not making any judgments about iOS. It's still early days. It's not finished, but damn, is it buggy. I mean, I couldn't handle it anymore. My phone was crashing. Like every time I would activate my phone to look at the screen, it would hang, would spin. It was just terrible.
Yeah, super buggy. And like I'd have issues where like just pulling up the camera, it'd just be black until I rebooted my phone, which is always, you know, you're like, hold on, wait, don't do that cool shit. Just wait a minute.
Get back on that cliff and jump off again.
Yeah,
go and back. Again.
The new beta, it definitely is way more stable. I think I had iOS 10 on my phone for like just 2 days, the last few days, and then I just put on the new beta yesterday, and I still think the battery life drains way faster than on iOS 10.
Oh man, it was terrible.
Yeah, it's insane. So it's still bad.
Yeah, really bad.
Lots of just like little fixes in the new beta update. Some new like icons, simplified Wi-Fi or a bigger Wi-Fi icon, some new app icons for contacts and reminders. The screen recording stuff is a little bit different.
And they brought back the slide to unlock the notifications, right? Or slide to activate the notifications, because they took that away in beta 3, or I guess in iOS 11.
Yeah.
They were gone. And I was really confused by that. And I wasn't sure how to get into an app from the lock screen. And like, what were you supposed to do with those notifications? I couldn't figure it out. And then I discovered, oh, they removed it and they added it back in, which is why it was so confusing.
Yeah.
So that's back now. Okay, so nothing really major. I didn't think so. But just a pro tip for you. If you are thinking about installing the iOS 11 beta, like the public beta, make sure you back up your phone first. I didn't realize this. I don't know how I didn't know this. But the only way to downgrade and have your phone actually work the way it did before you installed iOS 11 is to restore your phone with your backup.
Yeah.
I didn't have a backup. So I basically lost like everything on my phone like on Sunday, and I had to like restore the entire thing, which of course took like hours to do. And so make sure you back it up, folks.
Yeah.
Back that thing up.
I had this weird bug with mine, and it's happened twice, where the Photos app like just didn't see the thousands of photos that I had. So it would only show like 50 photos in my camera roll and my entire photo
library. And you were complaining about that on Twitter, weren't you? Like, you thought you had actually lost your photos.
Yeah, and it happened again. And so then I downgraded to iOS 10, got my library back from like an old restore, and it brought in the new photos I took, because I guess they were all in the iCloud photo library. And then went back up to iOS 11, and now they're back again. But it's definitely like super buggy, so I'd be careful with your all of your important information. Get it backed up first.
Especially if you're not using iCloud Photo Library. Like for me, it really wasn't a huge deal because all my photos are backed up, you know, all the time in iCloud Photo Library. So it's actually kind of nice. You restore your phone and you realize, Lewis, you were saying this before, like there's not really anything on it if you use iCloud Photo Library that you really need to save.
Right.
There's just nothing there.
Right.
It's just a bunch of apps. And so you have to go and download all your apps again and then log into all your various apps and then put all your apps in folders, which is annoying. But at least you didn't lose, you know, 2 years worth of photos, which would make you cry, you know, for a week. So
yeah,
I realized how much I love iCloud Photo Library. And actually, I love it for a variety of reasons. I mean, I don't like paying for it, but I think it's kind of a racket. But it really is convenient, isn't it? It's great. Before we continue, let me go ahead and say a quick thanks to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress available to you at a shockingly fair price. Its supportive memory foams create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce. And you can try Casper 100 nights risk-free in your own home. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. So it's totally risk-free to you. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life sleeping on it and making love on it. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. And with over 20,000 reviews and an average 4.8-star rating, if you're waking up with back pains, limbs that are asleep, you need a new bed. Head on over to casper.com/cultcast, and you can get $50 toward the purchase of any mattress with offer code cultcast at checkout. That's casper.com/cultcast, and the offer code is cultcast. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, let's see here. Oh, I forgot one of the best parts of this Johnny Ive story. So it's interesting how these two franchises are kind of feeding off each other with this great design. And Star Wars does have great design. You got to at least admit that. You may not have liked all the Star Wars movies that have come out, but all the design and the costumes and the props are iconic. Well, you may have heard this story, but in a moment of serendipity, Johnny Ive once sat next to J.J. Abrams, and they were at a New York dinner party making conversation, and Abrams recalled what he received from Johnny Ive as very specific suggestions about the design of the lightsaber, which is apparently something that Johnny Ive had been thinking a lot about. And Johnny Ive told J.J. Abrams that the lightsaber should be a little bit rougher. It's Kylo Ren's sword shouldn't be, you know, smooth and even like it had been in previous movies. It should be uneven. And he said, I thought it would be interesting if it were less precise and just a bit more spitty and more analog, more primitive. And in that way, somehow it made the sword more ominous. And I was thinking about that when I was reading the story, and I think he was right. doesn't it kind of make like it makes Kylo Ren's character feel somewhat more tribal and a little bit more unhinged? Makes me feel like he's a little bit more unpredictable.
I mean, it definitely looked way more rudimentary than other lightsabers, yeah. Not a refined product. I'm interested. I wonder if it's going to be the same lightsaber in the new movie coming out this Christmas, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And of course, Johnny Ive also recommended that the sword should have a hilt, which...
Did he recommend that?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he wanted it to look more like a real sword. And huh. I'm not sure how I felt about that, to be honest. Like,
exhaust especially fumes, once you look at... You know?
There you go. Actually, maybe that's what it is. It's the dark side of the Force exhaust pipes.
Yeah,
just spurting out of there. But if you look at the lightsaber, it the hilt of a sword, I always thought was built in to prevent someone from hitting your sword with their sword and having the sword slide down your sword and then hit your hand and chop your hand off. Right? Isn't that the whole point of a hilt?
Yeah,
but
that's my understanding.
Yeah, I know, and Lewis is very into swords. He plays with swords constantly, and it's actually very sweet. And so he knows a lot about swords. But the hilt on Kylo Ren's sword, like the mechanical parts of it, extend outwards.
Yeah.
And so if you were to hit his lightsaber with your own, and your lightsaber slid down his...
It would get blocked by the other lightsaber beams on the hilt. Yes, it would.
It wouldn't. It would hit the metal and chop the metal off.
No, it wouldn't. You need to go and look up Stephen Colbert's explanation. Makes total sense because it's like they're refracted beams coming outside the side of the saber. So even though like there's that metal part surrounding it, if you chop off the metal part, you would still just be right down to the beam and you would still be blocked.
Oh, so you're saying that the beam that the metal is just a encasing for the beam itself, which is on the inside.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like the source of it.
Oh, I thought it was the source of the beam. You've taught me something here today that I didn't think I would learn, honestly.
Damn.
And I'm surprised that you know so much about, quite honestly.
Nerd up, bro. Come on.
Okay, so the beam is coming out from inside the center of the sword, and maybe the hilt, that metal hilt, is just there to protect Kylo Ren's hand.
Exactly.
Man, I feel real stupid now.
You should.
But we all learned something today that we definitely didn't think we were going to learn. Okay, so moving on from Star Wars design, Johnny Ive props. Let's talk about the end of an era. Apple has discontinued the iPod Nano and the iPod Shuffle, leaving only one iPod left. And this iPod, this remaining iPod, was always my least favorite iPod. It always felt the least iPod-y to me. And the iPod Nano, the iPod Shuffle are no more. In a statement to The Verge, Apple confirmed both devices have been discontinued, saying, "Today we are simplifying our iPod lineup." You got to love that. With two models of iPod Touch, now with double the capacity, starting at just $199, and we are discontinuing the iPod Shuffle and the iPod Nano. The iPod Touch is now available in 32 and 128 storage options, with the latter priced at $299. $299 for an iPod? Holy moly, I didn't realize they were still that expensive. So iPod Shuffle is gone, and Apple no longer has an option to give you like a small running sized device to listen to music on. Like if you're just going to go to the gym, weren't you using a Shuffle for a while, Buster?
I haven't. I mean, maybe I was using an iPod Nano a decade ago. I can't remember.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've ever used an iPod. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think Leander used the Shuffle maybe for a little bit. I can't remember.
Somebody was telling me that they use the Shuffle to go to the gym. And I know a lot of people use those for the gym because you didn't have to have your phone in your pocket. Of course, now if you have an Apple Watch, you don't need a Shuffle because you can store music on that, and that would be great. But we only have one iPod left, and it must be because, you know, the iPods are just not selling as well as they used to, or maybe it's because they can't get the parts anymore to repair them or to build them. Which is what happened with the iPod Classic. Tim Cook was saying that they just couldn't get the parts anymore, and so they ended up just discontinuing the entire model line. Any feelings one way or another on the discontinuation of these two iconic devices, Lewis?
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised that they got rid of them, to be honest. I mean, I've never even owned one of those little things. Because I do have a phone.
Yeah, and, sort of everybody else.
And a watch. But weren't they sort of they were really inexpensive, right? And it seemed like the kind of thing that like people would give as gifts, and they, I don't know.
I am too, and I'm a little saddened by them, but then I was looking at the UI for the iPod Nano, and my gosh, is it hideous.
Yeah, it is.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I can't believe that they allowed that to languish in the condition that it was in. I mean, it's just when you look at your iPhone and how sleek and smooth it is, and then you look at the Nano and it's like, geez, they're clearly not using the same version of iOS that they were using for the iPhone. Like, it looks like it's just a hacked piece of iPod software. Like the icons are all big and gross, and it was just a relic from the early aughts, and you could tell it just wasn't getting very much love from the engineering teams. They were just basically selling it. So
yeah, I mean, I guess to me it's more surprising that they got rid of the shuffle, because that seemed like it actually had some purpose, right? I mean,
I agree. That seems like the one device, the one iPod that still would be useful for people. Because, I mean, regardless of how many people have phones, there are going to be people that need to have a portable music device that is inexpensive, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe Apple just decided, like, they don't want to be the people that sell that device. You can buy one from Walmart for, you know, $10 or something. Because music players now are everywhere. They're so cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that said, what we're into, let's go ahead and wrap up with what we're into. Buster, you want to go first? What do you got for us,
well,
dude?
Well, I mean, it seems how we're talking Games of Thrones. I mean, shout out to Game of Thrones Season 7. It's fire.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
No spoilers, dude.
Spoiler alert. Everybody dies.
I don't want to hear the spoilers.
Oh, yeah. I was so hyped to get back to from Colorado and watch the latest two episodes of the 7th season. I guess there's only going to be, I think, 7 or 8 episodes this season, which is a huge bummer. Mm-hmm. But finally,
that is a bummer. I wonder why they're doing that.
Because they don't have much left as far as story goes. There's, you know, they're tying up everything, and you can see all the set pieces coming into play, and shit's about to get serious now.
Didn't you read the books already?
Yeah, but this, now we're past the books, so.
Oh, so you don't actually know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, nobody knows what's going to happen now. I mean, you have general ideas.
Not even George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, probably not.
That's really funny. Yeah, interesting. So they've gotten out past where the books go, and I heard that he just gave like a framework basically to the producers of the show to say what he was thinking the show was going to do next.
Yeah.
And that's good though. So it's still good.
Oh yeah, it's still way good.
Dude, I'm so far behind on that show. I need to catch up.
Dude, are you past the part where what's his name dies?
Probably not. So the last thing that I saw, I was saying this in the show, the last episode that I saw was the Red Wedding.
Oh, okay. Do you know, so you're not there, you're not to the part where you learn Hodor's name and stuff like that?
No.
And Jon's true parentage? And
No. Okay. Oh, man.
Cool. All right. That's cool.
Yeah. Give me a break here, bro. Yeah, I got to catch up. I've been meaning to catch up for like a year and a half, and I need to actually start catching up. That show is so traumatic that it's actually hard for me to watch sometimes.
Oh, there's some more deaths that you're going to have to cope with while catching up.
Yeah,
so.
Jeez. Oh, great. Okay, Lou, what do you got for us?
Well,
are you actually going to pitch what you said you're going to pitch?
I hope he does.
I hope you do, too.
You do. I was thinking about taking a U-turn.
Well, you could take a U-turn, but I got to hear why you are into what you said you were going to be talking about.
All right, then I'll just talk about that.
All right, what is it?
And this is not a new thing for me, really, but
it's not a new thing in the history of the world, I would
absolutely
say.
Absolutely not.
Probably one of the oldest sports. The ancient Romans probably used to play it.
Yeah, darts. Can't stop.
Yeah, darts.
Can't stop playing darts.
It's not a new iOS game. It's not something on your iPad. It's just the game darts.
That's correct. And I started playing, I don't know, in a league maybe like 5 years ago with some people.
Dude, so you're serious into darts.
Yeah, you know, and I played in college, you know, a long time ago, but I never played in a league or anything like that. You know, everybody had a dartboard on the back. This is way back
when. No, I did not have a dartboard on the back of anything. Lewis, you're downplaying this, but
I don't know.
The Big Lebowski of darts.
Well, so anyway, I've been playing like maybe 5 years. Some guys from Wired way back when we started playing it. We started a team, and we play in a league now. And it's every Wednesday night we go and play. It's actually a giant commitment, you know. You go and you play every week, but it's great fun. And after living in San Francisco for as long as I have, you know, 25 years or whatever it is.
Oh, you've been there for that long. Wow.
That's crazy. And, you know, I found myself getting into a giant rut, you know, like I go from here, I go to work, I go to work to wherever, you know, it's, you go to the same places all the time. It's a tiny little city, but
yeah.
You find yourself walking down these same little things. Well, you start playing darts and suddenly you're traveling to parts of the city you haven't been to. You're hanging out with people you don't happen to know, which, I mean, in San Francisco, it's kind of, you end up running in the same circles, right? I run into
right.
people
it's
I
full
know
of people
from
that you
all
don't
these,
know.
Yeah, and anyway, so I've been loving playing darts. And anyway, two weekends ago, I went down to Las Vegas for this big international darts championship thing.
Dude,
you know?
We are getting to the gold here. This is going. This is not where I thought you were going with this. This is great.
But this is it's called the U.S. Darts Masters, and I went down there just to watch, right? I'm not playing. This is like the best people from the North America. They had like 150 guys that go down and strive to get in the top eight to compete against these eight guys from the British, what's it called, Professional Darts Corporation. You know, the best players in the world, right? So you've got anybody could do it. I could have gone down there and competed. You know, it costs like, I don't know, 20 or 50 pounds or something to compete in a round. And anyway, so we go down there, and I was kind of going, geez, I don't know. It's kind of expensive, and who knows? It's going to be 120 degrees, and I don't really like the sun. And
like the sun, yeah.
I've never been to anything like this, right? I mean, I've seen it on TV, the big British darts competitions, but it was the most fun thing in the world. It was so awesome. You're in this gigantic room filled with people. They start drinking at noon. It's just filled up with
is that
all
like
these
a league requirement?
Well,
like, hey, put those darts down. Where's your beer? You're like, sorry, sir.
I don't think the dart players drink anymore. I mean, supposedly, like, if you look at vintage stuff, you'll see guys like in tournaments drinking beer and whatever. Now they're drinking water out of
everything,
whatever. Yeah, in fact, I just saw that they're trying to get darts in the Olympics,
and
it might actually happen like next decade. But this was an awesome event, you know. And I don't know. I think they're going to have it again next year. They haven't had an event like this in a long time. Darts really is a lagging sport in the United States. Supposedly, it's like the number two televised sport in the UK.
Wow.
After cricket, by the way.
That is unbelievable to me. If I know we got a lot of British listeners. If that's true, if you're a big darts fan, would you tweet me and let me know at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. I got to hear this from the horse's mouth. I can't believe that this is the number two sport. It's darts. Like, you're going to watch people throw darts?
I cannot tell you how exciting this was. And you know, the ironic thing is, right, you're in this giant room with thousands of people. Everybody's yelling. There's TV cameras everywhere. And you're basically, it's just like a concert, right? You end up watching the big screen, right? Because that's where you can actually see where the darts land.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of amazing how fun they make it, you know, and how sort of set up for entertainment it is, you know. The players run out, you know, and they've got these very young women in very sparkly dresses leading them out, you know, like these old guys with beards and bellies, and it's almost a smidgen of like that sort of professional wrestling entertainment value, right?
Yeah.
But it's shocking how fast it goes and how. It might be hard if you don't know how to play the game, right? Because you don't maybe know. It all happens so fast. These guys, the darts land, and boom, they shoot, they're done.
Oh, really? So they don't take their time, like, aiming and making sure they hit the bullseye every time?
It's incredibly fast-paced.
Huh.
So after the 150 North American people did, you know, the very top guy from that ended up in the draw for the finals, you know, or the quarterfinals, like the last day, right, the end of this event. The very top guy from that drew the absolute top-rated dart player in the world, Michael Van Gerwen. And this guy
– Lewis knows his name, yeah.
This guy, he beat this other guy in six games in 11 minutes. I mean –
Just a huge upset.
Well, I mean, the guy didn't have a chance, you know. This guy is like a dart-throwing robot. He goes up there, he throws, boom, 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 done. And even, I mean, the minutia of the game, but the way he ended it, his very last throw was like almost insulting. It was just so punishing. And the crowd goes wild and the day's over and everybody's like, oh, my God, how could it get any better than this? It's hard to express just how shocking and fun the whole thing was. I did not know what to expect. I did not expect it to be that fun. It was really fantastic.
How many bullseyes, or do they throw like the triple 20s? Like how many bullseyes can a guy throw in one game? Does he actually get a bunch of them?
Well, they're not. I mean, the thing that they're going for more often than not, this is all 501, which, you know, getting into darts, whatever, you know, triple 20 is the thing that you're going for, right?
Right.
And 180 is the most you can get in one round. And these guys are reeling them off, you know, bang, bang, bang.
And that's a tiny little rectangle on the dartboard.
Yeah, it's like the size of, I don't know what's the size of. It's two or three matchsticks put together.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Tiny. And these guys just walk up and bang, bang, bang. And, you know, if they throw and they get one and then they get two single 20s, they're like, you can tell they're all frustrated and irritated with themselves. You're just like, oh my God, that's it's really a kind of a shocking sport. And the great thing about it, I've heard that like soccer players used to come over to the US and they'd be like, they excited about it because they could go out in public and nobody knows who they are, because soccer wasn't that big in the United States. I think darts is at that same place. You know, we were walking through the casino and the number one dart player in the world sitting at a slot machine with a giant wad of money. And he's just sitting there.
He's got that darts money.
Yeah, we walk up to him. Hey, are you Michael Van Gerwen? And he's like, and okay, bye, see you. But he had a wad of $100 bills, you know, wrapped, banded, sitting there, and then another pile of money. And it's like, oh my God.
And all from throwing a few throwing a few darts at a board.
Yeah, and you know, this he got like a Mustang, and I think they only gave like $35,000 or $40,000 for a purse for this particular event. You know, that's kind of small change for the darts world, but he's made like 1.7 million pounds this year.
Just throwing darts?
Throwing darts.
Wow. I got to say, I actually love darts. Every time I go to a pub and they have a dartboard, I'm always all over that
thing.
It's a fun sport. I've never used the word sport, but hearing you describe it, I guess it is a legitimate sport.
It actually is. It's gonna. I don't know if it's gonna take off in the United States again. I mean, it's down from where it was back in the 70s or whatever. But I think that this kind of televised stuff, it can't help but make it more popular, right? I mean, because if you actually watch that, I bet you if anybody got sucked into watching it, they'd be like, wow, this is actually fun to watch. And it's in a way, it's like soccer. I mean, it's so fast paced and things change so fast, you know? Huh. It's not like a baseball game where you're sitting there going, you know, nothing.
Did you just say soccer was a fast-paced game?
Yeah, I was
going
to say soccer is so slow. It's so boring.
You don't think it is?
God.
No.
Really? I think watching soccer is like watching golf.
Yeah. Wow,
or
really?
Or watching baseball, where you're watching. You could be watching for an hour and a half and nothing happens. It's just a bunch of guys running around on a field.
Ah, but I don't know. I've always thought soccer was so. I mean, especially compared to baseball, for crying out
loud. Well, you're not alone. Clearly, a lot of people love it, especially in Europe. It's just, it's just. I would consider basketball like a fast paced sport because there's constant the size of the field, so to speak, is so small. Right, the court is so small that you're constantly just going back and forth, and there's always something happening. Where with soccer, it's like they kick it one way, another guy gets it, he dribbles it a little bit, kicks it back. And it's like, oh man, they might score one goal the entire game, which of course makes it extremely cathartic when it actually happens, because you're like, thank God something happened in this game.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, it probably is more like watching basketball and watching these guys throw these darts. It's like watching Steph Curry bang out a bunch of three pointers.
Dude,
right?
I gotta Google these. I gotta YouTube these now. I'm not gonna do it right this moment. I gotta check this out now, because my impression of darts has always been what my experience of darts is. It's a bunch of drunk guys throwing darts poorly at a board. And when I play, it takes me like 30 seconds to line up my shot. I'm super careful. I'm trying to get the bullseye. Sometimes I do aim for that triple 20, but that's a very small rectangle to hit. And the more ALs I have, the less likely I am to actually know I can hit that. So it's just a bunch of drunk guys throwing darts. You know, like I never think about it in an athletic way. Like there are guys out there who are actually really good at it and do it quickly and you know can win money and stuff doing it. Like that's never even occurred to me.
It's a true thing. So watch Michael Van Gerwen versus Chris White. It's 11 minutes, and that is the top guy in the world taking on the winner of the North American thing, and it's like this masterclass in punishing darts. I mean, the guy is Van Gerwen is just he's definitely he's beatable. You know, he's lost some things, and he lost a few rounds here and there. He ended up winning that tournament, but the guy that he was playing, Chris White, if he walked into a bar anywhere in America and played, you know, it'd be like, whoa, look at this guy. You know, he did great. He had a really high average, but mm-hmm. it's just nothing compared to the robot.
The robot. Okay, cool. Let me wrap this
darts
up here.
No, let's talk more darts. Okay, sorry.
We could just start a whole new darts podcast, apparently, with Lewis. Just all God. Darts all the time. So my big thing that I love in life is demoralizing tweens, like between the ages of like 8 and 14. You know, they have like this lust for life, and they're real excitable, and that just rubs me the wrong way. And I was thinking to myself, how could I better demoralize these tweens and teens? And then I ran across the perfect way to do it. It's this game on Nintendo that just came out called Splatoon 2. Splatoon 2. And all the tweens are playing it. The premise of the game is you run around, you have a paint backpack on, and you have to shoot the ground with paint, and you can shoot other players with paint as well on the opposing team. And you need to cover as much of the level as you can with paint. And the team that has the most paint covering the ground and the walls and everything when the match is over wins. And it's great because everyone who plays this game is like 8 to 10 years old, right? It's like exactly the demographic that I want to be demoralizing. So I just get in there and I just hose these 10-year-olds down with paint left and right. They think that they're good, and they're not used to an OG like me who grew up with GoldenEye, who grew up with all the Call of Duty games. Like, I'm in it to win it, right? I'm real aggressive, chasing them down with my my paint roller and my paint brushes and stuff. And I'm just splatting on them. And I'm sending them home to mommy. And I'm sure they're crying and their moms are traumatized. Like, what's wrong? And he's like, oh, the big man got me again. You know, because I'm just hunting them down. And as I was playing this game, I thought for sure the world at large would probably enjoy seeing me splat on these prepubescent kids.
Yeah, it sounds so good.
And so
the way
I started.
You say that.
Oh yeah, maybe it doesn't sound that great.
It does not.
So I started streaming it on Twitch, and I used to play games on Twitch like a year ago, but I lost my streaming space. Well, I have reset up my space, and so if you're interested in seeing me play some of this game and other games, but mostly these days it's just Splatoon 2. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/vitamin E. That's triple E, vitamin E-E-E. I'll also link to it in the show notes if you're interested in checking it out. And also just playing Nintendo games in general. I ever since I got my Nintendo Switch, I've purchased almost every AAA title that's come out for it so far, because every game that Nintendo makes is magical, it's fun. It has this whimsy built into it. It's like going to Disneyland every time you play a game. There's just something about Nintendo games that make you feel like a kid. And unlike Disneyland, you can terrorize the kids that are there and stream it live for all the world to watch. So that's what I have been into. Just Splatoon 2, streaming it on Twitch, then just the Nintendo Switch in general, because they just keep coming out with one great game after another. It's just one good game after another. And the next one I'm looking forward to is Mario Odyssey, which I think comes out in September or October or something, somewhere around then, which I'm sure will also be a great game. So I think that's it. I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. If you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, Check this out, Lewis. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Buster's B-S-T-3-R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Am I right, sir?
You got it right. Boom. I'm so impressed.
Boom. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys and you little kids next time. Can't wait to get my splat on these kids, Buster.
Dude, don't splat on the kids.
You're like the Michael Van Gerwen of Splatoon.
That's true. That is true.
Just complete punishment.
That's right.
Nobody has a chance.
I don't want to just defeat you in the game. I want to defeat you mentally and emotionally. I want to get in your head. Steal your thoughts. How was Colorado?
Oh, it was wild. It was beautiful.
Just a wild and crazy time.
Yeah. Great times.
Man. What did you guys do the whole time?
Jumped off cliffs, you know, stupid stuff. Played games of kick the towel.
Kick the towel?
So, yeah.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah. Sounds like a really fun game.
Oh, it is. Kick that towel.
Oh, man, you kicked that towel so good. Yeah, bro, high fives all around.
Yeah.
Look how far that towel went.
When you get tired of that, do you play Count the Rocks?
No, then we play Robot Head. It's a game where you put a box on the fire that looks like a robot head, and everybody has to chant Robot Head until it burns to a crisp.
Wow. Where do you guys get the drugs?
I don't know.
When you do marijuana as strong as Buster does, all sorts of dull games become extremely fun.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it.
Robot Head. Robot Head. Robot Head.
Oh, 3 minutes straight of that, you're just like... We're not going to stop, are we? All right.
I used to do this routine when I used to smoke a lot of the ganj, where I'd become this man in the canyon, and everything I would say, I'd say with an echo, and I would do it for like a half hour straight. My friends loved it. I'd be like, oh no, you guys hear that? It's the man from the canyon. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, should I tell you guys about Hillbilly Dunk Tank?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear that.
So instead of a dunk tank, you put a hammock tied across two trees, and then you have a throwing axe, and somebody sits in the hammock, and you throw the axe at the tree and try and break the strap so that they hit the ground and everything, like a hillbilly dunk tank.
That does sound fun, although I would question the sanity of the person sitting in the hammock with the axe. Even though it's not heading in their direction, that's how you end up with a giant axe in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. How many miles away from the nearest emergency room is this game typically played?
Oh, usually at least 80, at least.
Well, that's great.
Does it matter, though, Lewis? If you end up with an axe in your head... I'm not sure it matters how close you are to the emergency room.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it bounces off and takes your scalp with it, you know, it might have a little while before you bleed out.
I guess that's true.
You
could just lose an ear.
Yeah.
Sure.
My ear! High five! That was so extreme, bro.
Probably don't have any ice out there either to put the ear in.
Oh, man, I don't feel so good. You got an axe in your head, bro. Oh, man, get me some ice.
Woo.
This is a great time, Buster.
Yeah.
Let me go on one of these trips with you sometime.
Oh man, never a dull moment, that's for sure.